Good evening and welcome. It's KVCR. I'm David Fleming. The sole focus of tonight's program is on Eva and the Vagabond Tales and the album about to come out called Uncharted Ocean. And what we've got going in the background is a song from the previous release from Eva and the Vagabond Tales, but this was one of four that was reworked for the new album. One of the reasons for this reworking of this and a few others is that for the first time with any releases from Eva and the Vagabond Tales, they had an outside producer working with them.
As a band, we've always done everything ourselves. I've produced albums myself. We would hand make all our albums ourselves, but I reached this point, I think in 2017, where I had a bunch of songs ready, but I kind of hit a wall and I didn't know where to go from there. I didn't really know if I should record the album and keep doing what I'm doing because it was kind of like a cycle and I wasn't happy with it. So I actually confided in JP Houston from American Parlor Songbook. Okay. And he told me that I need a producer. And at first I thought, I do not need a producer. I could do this myself. And JP helped me understand that getting a producer, it will open doors for me and it'll also teach me a whole lot. So he sent my music off to a couple different of his producer friends. One was in Canada, one was in LA, but Charles Newman, he seemed to be the one. So Charles Newman, he came from New York to LA to meet me. Jake and I, we went over to meet Charles. Well, we had a bunch of songs ready for him to listen to, and I thought these songs were finished, but Charles heard them and he said, I see what I could do with this. I can do this and this. And I was thinking, why is he gonna change all my stuff? And then I got to this point where I could actually trust him because he would take the songs and he would change them up a bit and then he would send them back to me. It was a really cool process seeing my songs turn into something I thought they could never turn into. And I never knew they could go that direction.
I'm going to admit that I felt the same way when I first heard some of the reworkings. I was like, he took your stuff and thought, okay, well, here's what I would do with it if I were, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it was very much a cooperative process. He thought, yeah, here's what I could add to it. And then he did, but then it came back to you. It wasn't a send it off for final say and the machine out there has it nowadays, not just you anymore.
Yeah, that's what I really appreciated about working with him. He took into consideration what I wanted the songs to be, and I think we were on the same track as to what the songs should be. And I realized from working with him that I was kind of stuck in a cycle of worrying about what people think instead of just making songs that I wanted to make. Because I tried to make everything sound like my first album, kind of sound old. I was kind of stuck in the past with how my music should sound.
Yeah, but you're also recognizing success with that album and wanting to carry that forward because that's part of the thing, it seems.
That's why I really appreciated that he let me use tracks from those songs. Mm. And they were layered into the new stuff, so it kind of gave it a lot of character and I never thought it could sound like it does and I'm actually really happy with it.
So am I, actually. It's... You were there for the first time that I heard the reworkings of these songs. And there was a part of me that just, no, it was great the way it was. And But I have to say, I've been driving around with this. And then when I get home, I take it inside and put it into the player and all that. Mm-hmm. And now I still, I suppose, look at the old version and the new version. I don't look at it as an improvement or something that I like less. Mm-hmm. I see them as two different versions. There are some that are simply, you might call it the unplugged version. The acoustic version, something like that. And we'll get to some of those. Mm-hmm. This is a mix of four songs from your two previous discs and six new ones. So one of the new ones, The Sea Will Return You. There's a single scheduled for premiere and digital release. The release date for this was May 10th.
Our first ever music video that I actually directed myself. I had Jake film it for me. It features all my band members. And this music video is going to premiere somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where yet, but it'll premiere. And then the song itself will be released digitally on iTunes and Spotify on May 10th.
Okay. The album, this is Uncharted Ocean. This is scheduled for digital release May 17th?
Yes.
Okay. And then you have these two release shows, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So the Los Angeles release show is going to be kind of like a celebration party. It's going to be at the Hotel Cafe in Los Angeles on May 15th. It's a Wednesday. I'm going to have some amazing musicians playing. One of them is Josh Quadra. I'm going to be singing a couple old 60s songs with him, Simon and Garfunkel song, Beatles song. Then my band is going to play. We're going to play a special, never-before-played set of songs. And then afterwards, we're going to have one of my favorite local LA bands, Cunhao, and they're going to actually play Train Travelers and Keep Me With Me. And they're going to harmonize with me, and they have all kinds of really unique instruments in their band, so it's going to sound really interesting.
Are all of the voices that we hear yours when we hear multiple female voices, or do we have Carol popping in for a couple of seconds?
Sadly, Carol is not on this album. I wish she was. I really wish. But yes, all the voices are me.
Okay. Well, we'll be hearing this through and through the interview. All the harmonization, that's all Eva layering and layering on top of herself. A beautiful album quote that you sent me talking about the songs that ended up on this disc. And I should say not just disc, but this is album also. There's vinyl versions of this, or about to be. It's kind of a tricky thing to say because there's pre-orders going on and then the release is just seconds away from happening. Talk to me about this quote, every season of your life.
Since we did rework a lot of songs from previous albums, and since it's been so long since we've released an album, I feel like these collection of songs for Uncharted Ocean, they combine songs from every season of my life.
You said that they were written over a period of 10 years. Something that you said on here, and only you would say it this way, and I say this in the highest of compliment, okay? Some of the instrumental tracks you managed to salvage are so ancient that you can almost hear the hours trying to catch up with you as you listen to it. Okay, that's a cool quote in and of itself. So that does bring me to, though, are some of these songs, it's an old, old instrumental track and you're playing over it or singing over it?
Yeah, exactly. So for example, if anyone remembers the song Keep Me, there's a really distant guitar in that recording. So we saved that guitar sound with all its cracks and like little noises that is in the background of it. Yeah. We added it to the new version of Keep Me, and you can actually hear how old it is. But mixed in with the new vocals and the new instruments and the fuller sound, it gives it so much more character.
Before we go on to the tracks themselves and other things here and there, let's talk about why Uncharted Ocean. It sounds great because you're so much about traveling and whatnot that I know of you and some of your past songs, but how about for this album, the title?
For this album, I definitely wanted something having to do with the sea or the ocean, because a lot of the songs had a lot of ocean metaphors in them. But it was actually Jake who came up with the name Uncharted Ocean, and it made perfect sense because this album was like uncharted territory in my own life. It was my first time working with a producer and my first time letting someone else enhance my songs and pushing them in directions I didn't think that they could go. And while this was all happening, Jake and I, and sometimes my full band, we spent probably like 3 months driving back and forth up the coast from here all the way to Washington. And it just made a lot of sense. The past 2 years, that's all we've been doing is just touring up and down the coast, not going east at all, just on the coast.
No matter what you do, the Pacific is on the left or the right-hand side, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like a ship with no sail, rebelling and left all her men behind. We were wild, unafraid, candid, and we couldn't hide it. But I fled it.
Let's go to the first track, Demure. This is something also I really appreciate about your songs, is the titling, because nowhere in this song is the word demure. Okay, but this describes what the song is. Some of your songs really feel like a personal experience, and some are like adventures from another time and another place. It's a fantasy, and this really feels like the latter. So is this the kind of thing where you imagined a story and then put it to verse, or maybe you had some great verses which then fleshed out and became this really cool story?
So this song, it actually came from a feeling, and the feeling is actually the word demur, showing hesitation or reluctance. So I wanted to make a song about that, but also about how in the future I would regret showing reluctance. So this, I imagined a story about like a metaphor of a wild ship that left all its sailors behind, and how the ship is looking back and thinking, I miss everything, and just threw all those memories and sunk them to the bottom of the ocean where no one could find it. So that song is about putting together all your memories, dropping them in the ocean, and just regretting being hesitant.
We might as well hit this one right away. This is a great example of some of your tunes that maybe it's a sad message or a sad song somehow, but they're fun. This is one that's upbeat and propelling you along with the tempo and yodeling. We'll hit that in a second. I think we spoke once of you having songs that are sad maybe, but upbeat and fun, like a lot of Irish jigs and reels, mm-hmm. where it's a fun, danceable tune, but when you listen to the words, you're talking about your lass who's drowned at the river.
Yeah.
I get some of this from you. When one sees Eva perform live, she might say, do you want to hear a sad song or a happy song? Even her sad songs are upbeat and fun. But anyway, so yodeling, though, I just said that a second ago, and that happens in the song. When did you start yodeling? I mean, ever, not for your discs or anything.
I was camping in Yosemite, and there was a meteor shower, and there was a lady my cousin and I started talking to, and we talked about music, and she gave us this burned live copy of a Nickel Creek CD.
Really?
And yeah. And
oh my God.
I love that band, and I loved the CD, and this was before I knew about the internet. Everyone had the internet at this point, but I kind of didn't have the internet. I still had like the dial-up, and it wasn't really working well. Mm-hmm. So all I had was that CD, and it kept getting more and more scratched. And there was a song on there where they cover I Wanna Be a Cowboy's Sweetheart. I forgot the name of the person who originally sang it, but they all yodel, and they all harmonize their yodeling on it. So I tried to copy them, and as I copied them, we were rafting underneath a bridge, and the echo from the bridge, it just sounded so cool. So I fell in love with yodeling. I tried to learn about yodeling. I looked up videos later on in life about yodeling, and I incorporated it into one of my songs, Mirage, mm-hmm. and then in this album, I definitely wanted to add yodeling somewhere in it, and this song seemed appropriate.
Nice. Listening to KVCR, it's on 91.9 KVCR, online at kvcrnews.org. The sole focus of tonight's program is the latest release from Eva and the Vagabond Tales called Uncharted Ocean. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Eva Mikhailovna. One of the next tunes, and we spoke about this just a second ago, Please Keep Me. It was originally called Keep Me. This one got a slight change of title, originally from the middle of Letters from the Moon. The original version of this, you talked about the old sound to it. Not only did it have an old sound, but you also worked in, if I recall, this is the one that had a old scratchy record sound that you put on top of it after the fact, yeah?
Oh yeah, that's right.
You spoke about the fact that he did record right over that, or you did. Talk about the process, I suppose, of taking this song, and did you re-sing any of it? Did you play over parts of it? This is like a more complex click track.
Yeah. It was really complicated because that Letters from the Moon album, I did not record to a click track. And a click track would make sure that everything stays on the same tempo. So I had to go back in my old computer. I had to find all the different separate files. Like I had to find the guitar file. I had to find the harmonics file. And then once I found those, I tapped out the tempo and I figured out what is the tempo. And I made sure to record my new parts at that tempo. Then once the new parts are ready, we took that old file and put it back into the new stuff. And it seemed to fit. I did have to adjust and move stuff around a little bit to make it on time with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It was really complicated, but it worked out.
The original didn't have accordion, did it?
No.
This one is probably one of my favorite songs from you. And it's all about this one line. I stayed up every night to see who I was inside. I've always loved the introspectiveness of that statement, but then it follows with questioning, am I no one? This one really was written from a gut-wrenching breakup, wasn't it? We don't need to give him that power, though.
Yeah, I don't even remember who this was about because it was when I was really young, but it was more from a feeling of feeling kind of empty and not knowing who you are. And asking the next person to just please keep you because you don't know if you're gonna end up by yourself completely alone in the world. And I think now when I think about this song, it kind of applies to all areas of my life, like with family, with friends, and not just, you know, like a lover, just because this song was written when I was probably, I think, 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on to Silent Creatures, since this was written over a period of 10 years or so, I want to know when this one comes from. Every time I listen to this one, the line that hits me the hardest, I want to be one of the boys, how I wish I had a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really the thrust of this whole song?
Yes.
Yeah? I had it that you had to work harder than other people, maybe someone specific, but to get to a certain place.
Exactly. I had to work harder than most people to get to a certain place, and there's people who have it way harder, but I've always felt, and especially around the time that I wrote this song, there was a lot going on in the world about people having a voice, people not having a voice. So I wrote this song about how some people, they just don't have as big of a voice as others.
Until you know what it's like to be unknown.
I remember when I was in sixth grade, I had a sixth grade teacher, and one day, right before lunch, she said, okay, you can all go to lunch, but I want the girls to stay behind. And all the boys were leaving the classroom and saying, oh, they're going to be talking about, like, girl stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, it's that time. Okay.
Yeah. And that's what we all thought, too. But to my surprise, she sat all of us down and she said, I want you guys to remember this, that one day when you get a little bit older, you're going to be standing in a group of boys and you're going to feel like you're not allowed to say anything. I want you to remember that when you're in a group of guys, you have just as much authority or chance or voice to express whatever you want to say. And I would remember when I was growing up, after she said that, that there were times when I'd be in a group of guy friends and they'd all be talking and I would feel like I can't say something. And I don't know where that feeling comes from, so I always remember that, and that this kind of influenced this song too.
This is a good example then where it's not a complete literal example, the breakup song that we were talking about. It's not somebody or something specific. This is more of a notion in a sense. It comes from actual experience. This is a good time to talk about. We look at the recording by Jake. We look at the bass by Al. There's so many of these things that Eva is doing that I don't know if it's even credited on the backs of most of these discs. I don't think it is, because she has self-produced them, and I think modesty has kept you from listing everything that you do, but Eva records all of this before Jake even gets to it, or has in the past and still does. How many instruments do you play?
On this album?
No, let's just go in general.
Oh, in general?
Yep.
Oh, I only sing. But I mean, I play a lot of instruments. I just don't play them how I should play them. I could pick something up and try a bunch of times and record it, and that's usually what happens.
We see you try. We see you make these attempts every time you get on stage, and you blow us away every time, whether it's the piano or the guitar or the ukulele or the squeeze box or whatever. The harmonica sometimes strapped onto the mouthpiece thing while you're... The kazoo.
Yeah.
Okay, she won't answer that. Modesty prevents that. Okay, well, that's good. It's not bragging if somebody asks you. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Eva Mikhailovna. We're hearing about the newest release from Eva and the Vagabond Tales called Uncharted Ocean, out quite soon. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. We are online at kvcrnews.org.
I wanted to be your moon, but no one looks up when they're lost down in the night. Always wanted to be true.
Let's go on to the next tune. I really am going right in order on this album. And not that it matters in the grand scheme of it all, but I am trying to decide on this one. If the chorus came first, then a song was built around it. Or if you had this wonderful poetry, starting with that opening line, I wanted to be your moon, but nobody looks up when they're lost down in the night. Did you have the chorus and you had to write the song around the chorus, or did the song, the verses, come first?
I think for this song, the thing that came first, which is strange because this never happens, was the actual little guitar melody. And I played the guitar melody first, and then the verse followed immediately after that, and it kind of just came together really quickly. And what I realized not too long ago is that that guitar melody is actually the same melody as the chorus, but it's just a different rhythm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Be like listening to that another way. A beautiful chorus, and I want to address really just one line in it. It's the opening to it. We hear it twice, maybe three times in the song. Hold me closer than your thoughts. I can read them when you're not. That's just beautiful, and I'd like to hear why or how you came up with that.
I've been in situations where when someone is closed in and quiet, they feel really far away. So I wanted the person to kind of notice me and hold me and keep me there, instead of being far away with their thoughts.
This may be a good time to ask you to try to put into words, this is something that you and I have spoken about, never on the air, but the fact that you write many times, not necessarily with words, like I've got a great poem, now I'm going to find music to go with it, but sometimes you write hearing sounds for words, and I'm not talking about just the notes, but almost these utterances, an O or an A or an E. Are you able to talk about that better than I just did?
Yeah, I'll try to. It's kind of confusing. I don't know how to explain it, but when I have a really, really strong melody in my head, the different strong notes in that melody, I always hear some kind of word go into that melody. Like, for example, I think I was writing a song the other day and one of the melodies went ao, and I thought, like, it has to have that a-o vowel in it, so I put shadow, and that's how it came to be, and I built the whole song around that. And as I'm writing the song, I'm trying to figure out, what am I feeling? Why did this song come to me in the first place? So that's how most of these songs come to be.
So do a lot of the first attempts at some of the lines of your songs come out as a-o-o-e?
Yeah.
Wow.
They do.
That's too cool. All right. Thoughts. This is another one that got a name change. It was originally Why Don't You Tell Me Why. I've looked through it enough. Beyond the opening line, Once There Was a Thought Unfinished, there's much more in here why this should be called Thoughts. But this was the song that ended the previous disc. The song was together when that disc came out. Remind me of why you did just a 56-second version of this on the previous disc when it was already together.
The reason why I did only 56 seconds was because the songs for that disc, for the EP, they were already finished. And this song, Thoughts, it's one of my favorite songs I ever made. I don't know why, but I just really like this song. And I wanted to record it and include it in that disc and have it be a part of that disc because I wrote it around the time those songs were written. And it's just very appropriate and it fits with that era of my life. But I just wanted it to be perfect, and I knew that at that point in my life, if I released the whole song, it wouldn't be perfect. So I decided to just give, I guess, people an idea of what that feeling was, and I wanted to include just a little bit of the song in it, so it'll forever be like engraved in that EP. So now is the time for it to go out into the world, I guess.
No, and it is absolutely beautiful. This version is so produced, and often, if you hear me say that about a song, it's not necessarily a good thing that I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, they just overly produced is usually how I might say it. but this one is beautiful. With all of these re-recordings, there is more of a depth, and not talking about just layering thicker and thicker textures, but there's also just a deeper sort of resonance behind it. This is one of them that, again, I love the original. And then you also started with the second verse and jumped to the last verse. Is there any particular reason on that, instead of taking a couple that went right together?
The reason I did it that way the first time around was because I just wanted the two verses that best represented that time of my life. So I just took two random verses from the song and just threw them in there.
Okay. Just talking for a second now about openers and closers, the songs that were chosen for what order on the disc. Were these all Charles, or is this, again, another thing where you two went back and forth on, here's the order that I would like and see what he does?
I picked an order. I knew that Demure was going to be the opener, and I knew that Lighthouse was going to be the closer. I just didn't know in between.
Cool.
I asked him for advice. He gave me some good advice. I moved around his advice. Then I moved back his advice. And whatever we came up with turned out to be perfect, because side B starts with an ocean intro. So there's going to be like this ocean that Jake and I recorded. I think we were on tour and we stopped and I said, hey, I need ocean sounds in my album. Can we pull over? I think that's what happened.
Hey, there's an ocean.
Yeah.
That's good. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming in conversation with Eva Mikhailovna. The latest album from Eva and the Vagabond Tales, Uncharted Ocean, is about to be released with a Los Angeles release show May 15th and May 25th in Riverside, and pre-orders available now. Before we move on, how about just for a second about the art, the concept and execution for it? Who did it? Is this you again? You've done these in the past. Mm-hmm. Is this you again?
Yeah, this is me again.
Yeah? And it is like an old-timey map. I don't care if that's the right way to say that or not. Old-timey is fine. And Eva, in the middle of it, she's holding up a lantern. This lantern, by the way, she has one hanging on the end of her guitar for a lot of her performances these days. I don't know if that's directly related or not, but...
It is.
Okay, excellent. It's been Eva all the way for the art on these, which makes me ask you about the moon. I'd like to hear about the moon as far as what is this close to being a logo for you. It's an identifying symbol in any way. We had, for the first disc, it was Letters from the Moon. There was you hanging from the moon, almost like Paper Doll, if anybody knows that movie, but playing a guitar, hanging on a swing. On the next disc, La Douleur Exquise, I still do not speak French.
I still don't either.
This one is actually even closer to Paper Moon, where we have Eva actually sitting on the moon itself, and the moon with a teardrop. Mm-hmm. Did you have the idea for the moon as a symbol from the get-go, or did you start realizing after the fact that a lot of your art ended up having this moon in it? Chicken or egg, I suppose.
I started having the idea for a moon as a logo while I was writing Letters from the Moon. Every song was kind of moon-related, so I wanted the moon to be the logo. But then I was so fascinated with drawing the moon and just looking at the moon that I decided it's going to be in the next EP too, because it was kind of around the same time. But my mom told me not too long ago that I guess I was always fascinated with the moon. She remembers how we were riding in the bus in Russia, and I guess I looked out the window, and my very first word to her, I pointed at the moon, and I said, Luna. She told me that's my first word, was the moon, so.
Which she wasn't. Everybody wants mama.
She was upset I didn't say mama first.
What's Russian for mama?
Mama.
Oh, mama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mama.
I'll try to remember that one.
And the sea will return you when you finally learn to.
We mentioned this as side two. This is worth pointing out because this is not just a new CD, but a new vinyl release. This is the first time these folks are going to be putting out product on vinyl. Sea Will Return You opens that up. You have a wonderful quote about this, and not only were these written over a period of 10 years, but this one seems to have been written at some point, and we don't really know exactly when, right?
Exactly.
Okay, talk about when you discovered this song, how it is that you discovered it.
So I went in some old computer files one day when I was having some, I don't like to call it writer's block because I don't believe in writer's block, but I wanted to write something and I couldn't. And I was looking for some unfinished songs, and I found this file that was created at, I think it was like 4:55 a.m. or something. And I opened it and I realized I must have written it in my sleep, where my computer was near. I woke up, I had a melody idea, and it had a lot of like ow, 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 like vowel sounds, okay, and some like random words here and there. I think the one random word was a kiss on the forehead, and I didn't know where it was supposed to go, but the harmony was there, the main melody was there, the chords were there. I found it and I thought, what is this? So I tried to figure out to see if it was already a song that maybe I was trying to cover at 4:55 in the morning, but I still don't know. I hope it's not already a song, but I took it and I made it into what it is now, I guess.
I read somewhere about what it may represent, a freedom of some sort.
Oh yeah, so the song is kind of about the beginning and end of a relationship where one person is trying to prove to the other all the pain that they caused them. They're trying to show the other person and hope that the other person understands all that pain. And the sea represents freedom to go and do whatever you please. And just like all things, like the sea, it washes everything back up on shore, and everything that washes up is beat up, broken, and it kind of experienced everything. So that's why in the lines I say, the sea will return you when you finally learn to understand, basically.
Nice.
Yeah.
If You Hide Me Away, this one was originally called November's. The title now of If You Hide Me Away, that makes perfect sense. It's in the words. Why was it originally called November's?
Because I wrote it in November and I didn't know what to call it.
Yeah. Okay. This was the opening track to our introduction to you, Letters from the Moon. The original was much more thinly textured. This one does have a violin added, mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay, talk about this violinist, if you would. These aren't necessarily union musicians that were called in, but the effects were so wonderful with them.
The violin player and viola player, Claudia Chopek. I've never met her, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing her name right, but she has played or plays for Moby and Father John Misty, and she's a friend of Charles Newman, which is our producer, and he found her. He wrote the violin parts, and I'm pretty sure he probably let her maybe change it to, I'm not sure how it went because I wasn't there, and I remember thinking, I want to hear the violin parts before you record the violin parts, but we just didn't have time for me to hear them or change them to what I would want them to be. But I decided to trust him, and in the end, he came up with something for the violin that I just absolutely love, so I'm really happy how it turned out.
As well you should be. It doesn't turn into a violin solo at any point, nor is the violin featured, really. It's just one of the layers that is a wonderful complement to the rest of the song and what's going on. But that was, I guess, another case of having the original song and then that was played in the background and then things were recorded and then layered on top of the original to be used as a template, for lack of a better word. David Fleming in conversation with Eva Mikhailovna. We were hearing about the newest release from Eva and the Vagabond Tales called Uncharted Ocean. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. Online at kvcrnews.org. One of the other re-recordings, Shallows of the Sea. Originally, I knew this as Winter Song. And then on the previous disc, it came out as Winter. This was the song, if anybody wants to remember this or go back to the interview, this one was played the first time Eva was on KBC Arts, called Winter Song at that point. I think the most of any of the other tunes that were previous recordings, this one got the most processing and tweaking, I feel. I still love it, though. I want to talk about that. This disc has such a wonderful flow. So again, I want to talk about, I suppose, what happened with this one, with the layers being added. Because again, you had these songs that were wonderful and complete originally.
Mm-hmm.
And then Charles.
Yeah, and then Charles happened.
Charles, I mean that in a good way. I know you're going to hear this.
This was one of the songs where I was very protesting the drums being added. And he turned the drums down way low for me, which was, I liked that he did that.
So the version that we have is the turned down version?
Yeah.
Oh?
Yeah. They still feel loud to me. I'm happy with it now, and it makes sense now, because the best way to realize that it worked was to go back and listen to the original recording of it,
mm-hmm.
and it just doesn't reach that point where you're like, okay, I can keep listening to it. The reason I was protesting it so much is because I very much so felt that that song was already done, but Charles really liked the song, and he wanted to work on it. I'm happy he worked on it, because it sounds kind of like grown up now, in a way.
The Lighthouse. Once you finally get to near the end of it, it's about a zombie attack or ghosts or some ghouls or something coming to get you.
It's kind of like a spooky song. I wanted it to be kind of spooky and playful, but when I wrote this song, I was around a lot of people who kind of didn't want me to succeed in life. So It kind of felt like I was the only one who saw underneath it all. So I kind of turned it into a story where it's kind of like this spooky lighthouse, and myself and someone close to me walk inside, and there's a bunch of happy looking people, there's like a ball, there's dancing, and everyone's so nice. But throughout the whole song, I'm trying to convince the person I care about, like, don't look at them, don't dance with them, don't pay attention to them, because in the end, they're just trying to make you fail, and they're trying to, if you stay here, you're not going to survive, basically.
Wow. It really feels like, especially once you go through the song and then give it another listen or 20 like I did, it really feels like once you get to the end of it that it is like an old, maybe a Twilight Zone episode or something like that, where you enter a place where people used to be and they only exist in that one spot, but they're still there. Like the bar in The Shining.
Yeah.
Those people are always still there.
Oh,
if you go back into that place.
It kind of makes sense, because the piano I recorded for this song, this piano we recorded at the Brackenfern in Lake Arrowhead, which is a very spooky place. When we were recording it, it was 10 p.m. at night. They let us have the whole place to record the piano. And there was so much weird stuff going on. I just love old places because they have so much history, and you can just feel the history alive.
This really had the feel around you as you were recording it. Really nice. We should point out that if folks go see Eva, if you've been seeing Eva and the Vagabond Tales for a few years now, you would have seen Al Ortega on bass, although for some live gigs lately, you're lucky enough to see Benjamin Perper up there on stand-up bass, which adds nicely with the bowing or the slapping or the plucking. You have some other musicians. We spoke about the violin player. What is Al doing on this one?
Al plays a lot of banjo on this album, and he does the actual bass solo at the very end of The Lighthouse.
And then who's the bass player for the rest of the album?
The bass player is Logan Cole. I've also never met him, but he plays for Natalie Merchant and also Lisa Hennigan.
But aren't you playing the bass on this song, though?
Yes, I'm
That's what I really wanted to play.
I am playing the bass on this song. I'm also playing the bass on a couple other songs, like Demur and, I believe, Heart Still Beats.
Now, as we've been speaking about this, if anybody's tried to track it down, that is Uncharted Ocean. It's not out quite yet, but are the pre-orders going to continue up until the actual release dates?
Yes.
Okay.
There's also going to be a pre-order link on iTunes. So May 10th was our single release for She Will Return You music video, and it is available on Spotify and iTunes. And on May 15th will be our release party in LA at the Hotel Cafe. And then May 17th, it will be available everywhere, Spotify, iTunes, digitally. And May 25th will be our Riverside release. We're playing at 8 p.m. on the outdoor stage for Saturation Festival. And Saturation Festival is an art and musical festival, and it happens from Thursday to that Sunday. I encourage people who love art and music to come out to that.
Nice. And along with that, beyond these gigs, you've got Disney gigs here and there. You're there on a regular basis these days, yes?
Mm-hmm. It is random but regular, so it's always on a different day. The next one will be May 19th. It's a Sunday, and we're going to be in Downtown Disney on the main stage. And you can always check the Downtown Disney schedule because we're there pretty often, maybe 3 times a month.
And how about checking on your schedule in general, finding out the surprise gigs? I guess just where are you on Facebook, Instagram, Spotify?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about all the places that you can be found.
We can be found on Instagram, Eva and the Vagabonds. On Facebook, Eva and the Vagabond Tales. We have our website, evaandthevagabondtales.com. There you can find our shows, you can find our pre-order link for the album, you can hear music, see lyrics, videos, and all that. And you can also find us on Spotify.
While we referenced some of the extra musicians earlier, let's go ahead and talk about the regular band. Who can we see with you on a regular basis when we're seeing you perform? Because what we're speaking about on the album is not necessarily the same as what we see mm-hmm. when we are fortunate to be able to see you.
On a regular basis at live shows, you could see Jake Flume. He's on percussion. He's on percussion on the album. Jasmine Capitulo on accordion on the album and live. And then we see Al Arteaga. He is now on banjo and electric guitar. He was on banjo on the album. And Benjamin Perper is our newest addition. He's on bass.
Folks should know that name. And if you are able to see Eva and the Vagabond Tales in any setting, it could be Eva herself. It could be just Eva and Jake. There's several different versions of this lineup that you can see, but anytime you do catch her, it's a treat every single time, as was this conversation.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation, too. Yes. I always enjoy being here.
We've been hearing from Eva Mikhailovna, and music from Eva and the Vagabond Tales' newest album, Uncharted Ocean, about to be released. Once again, more at evaandthevagabondtales.com. And that wraps up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again so much to Eva Mikhailovna, and here at KVCR, thanks to Lillian Vasquez, Rick Dulock, Sharina Wad, Andrew Caravella, Alyssa Lanier, Taylor Milliner, and KVCR General Manager Tony Papa. Music beds and themes heard on KVCR is composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KVCR's programs via podcast at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support any time of the year at kvcrnews.org.